Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast on this Thursday, October 28, as we continue talking about the relationship between worship and service in the Christian life. If you were listening yesterday, you discovered that the word translated service in Romans 1:9 is translated worship in other texts in the Bible. It's a Greek word that could be translated either way. So when Paul said, "For God is my witness whom I serve in my spirit," it could have been translated, "whom I worship in or with my spirit," in the gospel of his Son. Showing us, I think, the close relationship between worship and service in New Testament thinking, New Testament teaching, something that somehow is often widely separated in our thinking. And that's what I'm trying to challenge. That's what I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help us draw together in our minds the proper relationship between worship and service, and to see how closely related the one is to the other if it is properly understood. We worship God by serving Him if we serve Him aright. We serve God by worshiping Him if we worship Him aright. And so we left the broadcast yesterday talking about what makes our worship acceptable service. Again, a strange concept to many people, because worship is one thing and service is another. We worship God, we go to church, and we sit and we listen and we sing and we hear the sermon and we worship God, and then we go out and serve Him. But properly understood, we serve Him when we're worshiping, if we're doing it as we ought, and we are worshiping when we're serving Him, if we're doing it with the right heart motive and attitude and in the right way. So what makes our worship acceptable service? Well, number one, when we're conscious of offering our worship as a gift to God. And I have talked about that several times on this broadcast, and I just simply touch upon it again to remind you that we need to think of worship as something we give to God. We are giving Him our worship. It is a gift that we can give to God. We think in terms of our tithes and offerings being a gift to God. Sometimes in our church, when it's time to receive the offerings, we say we will now worship God with our tithes and offerings. We will now worship God with our giving, is maybe a way I will more likely say it. I'm not fussy about using the word tithe and the concept of tithing, like some people are. Some people find that an unbiblical notion, a non-New Testament, New Covenant notion, but I don't consider it such, though I won't take the time to go into that right now. But giving. We'll now worship God with our giving. All right? That's part of our worship. But you see, in a sense, properly understood, every part of our worship is giving to God. We give Him our reverent devotion. We give Him our attention. We give Him praise. We give Him our ears. We listen to what He wants to say to us through His Word. We give Him our heart. We give Him faith, believing the Word as it is spoken and receiving it into our heart. We give Him prayer. We give Him worship, and we give Him our offerings. All of that is worship that we give to God. And we go to the public worship of the church, of the assembly of the saints, with the idea, I'm going now to give God worship. Holy Spirit of God, help me to give Him acceptable worship. Help me to give Him worship that is pleasing to Him. I don't go to church to demand what I want, what I like, what I can get out of it. I go to church to give to God what He delights in, what He desires. I am going to render to Him the worship that is due unto His name. I'm going to give Him worship. Have you ever considered Hebrews 13:15? By Him, therefore, that is by Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Praising God, thanking God, is called in Hebrews 13:15 the sacrifice of praise. That's worship language. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians, and there's a lot in it that comes out of the Old Testament context. And most of the book is given to show us the contrast between the Old and the New Covenant and how the Old Covenant has passed away and the New has replaced it, and the bulls and goats and the blood sacrifices and so forth are obsolete, and Aaron is obsolete, and Christ has come to fulfill all of that and replace all of that. But in the place of offering animals upon the altar as a sacrifice to God, what do we give Him as sacrifice? By Him, that is by Christ, let us offer. That's worship language. That's Old Covenant language, to offer a sacrifice, to bring an animal and offer it to God as a sacrifice. But no, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Don't you see how the idea of worshiping God, serving God, giving to God, the worship that He desires is all bound up in that text as well as in some others? So, when it comes to the music of the church, this is a touchy subject in our day, and you can get into a hot debate about this, and nearly everybody has their opinions. And virtually everybody's opinions are strong opinions. I like this kind of music. I like that kind of music. And a lot of churches today are offering a variety of worship services to please every taste. I saw another one the other day. It had three worship services. I can't remember now if they were all on Sunday morning. And I think they were all on Sunday morning, stacked together. Starting at maybe 8:30, the first one, and 9:30, the second one, and 10:30, the third one, something like that. I don't know. But pick the one you want. One of them is contemporary worship, one of them is traditional worship, and one of them is blended worship, were the three terms that were used. And primarily, all of that refers to, in each case, is the music. There might be some other elements, too, that go along with it. But basically, what you're talking about is, in the traditional worship service, you're going to have traditional church music. In the contemporary worship service, you're going to have contemporary Christian music. And in the blended worship service, you're going to have a blend of both, some traditional, some contemporary. And the idea is, we have whatever you prefer. It's kind of like, which kind of ice cream do you prefer? I prefer vanilla. I prefer chocolate. I prefer strawberry. Fine. We've got all three. Take your pick. Whatever you desire. Whatever you want. We're going to offer it to you. That will encourage you to come to our church, because we can offer you what you want, what you like. Now, I think many times the debates over styles of music in the worship service, sometimes called the worship wars, I think many times the premise is entirely wrong, no matter which side you're arguing. Sometimes people argue for traditional music because that's what they like. And other people argue for contemporary music because that's what they like. And other people argue for a blended service because that's what they like or because that will please the most people. And we want to please the most people possible. So we have some traditional for the older people and we have some contemporary for the younger people. And let's have something for everybody so that there's something that everybody likes. That's still the basic premise of it all. What do people like? Let's give them what they like. And I'm saying, whoa, aren't we forgetting something here? The real question is not what the old people like, not what the young people like, not what I like, not what somebody else likes. The real question is, what does God like? What does God want? Now, I recognize it's easier to ask that question than perhaps to answer it with any degree of certainty, because you can't go to the Bible and say God likes contemporary Christian music or God likes traditional Christian music. You can't find that in the Bible. But I don't think we can get anywhere, make any progress in debating and investigating this question until we start with the premise that it really doesn't matter what people like. The only thing that matters is what God likes. You see, we are so me-oriented. We are so self-centered in our worship. We just assume that God likes whatever people like. We just assume that what pleases God the most is whatever brings in the most people. We just assume that. That's almost a given. That's not debatable. That's just, everybody knows that. I'm not so sure that everybody does know that. I want to go on record as being an objector to that assumption. I don't think that is a correct presupposition, that God is going to like whatever people like. Where do you get that in the Bible? Where do you get that notion in the Bible? When I read the Bible, I find out that God is the high and holy one, and we come to worship Him. We come to render to Him what He delights in, what He requires, what He demands. In the Old Covenant worship that we talked about a moment ago, God didn't say, "Now, what kind of offering would you like to bring? What kind of animal would you like to bring? What would most please you? Whatever pleases you will most please me." No. God is God, and we are His subjects, and He tells us what He wants, and we either bring Him what He wants, or we are disobedient and rebellious and worshiping other gods, false gods. If we're going to worship the true God, Jehovah God, we've got to worship Him in the way that He prescribes. Well, what makes you think it's any different in New Covenant worship? Of course, New Covenant worship is different from Old Covenant worship. We don't have the priests, we don't have the sacrifices, we don't have the temple. But what makes you think that somehow this whole premise has been turned upside down? I don't think so. We may have different principles of worship that are in keeping with the New Covenant, but the same underlying foundation that God is God, and it is the responsibility of the people of God to learn what pleases Him and to give it to Him. That's true worship. If we do anything else, that's false worship. Think on these things. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.